Glad we're here this morning. I was didn't know what the snow was going to do. I haven't been here long, but the last time they were calling for like a half an inch, and you guys got 6 inches. Jim had got plow.
No, I didn't plow.
You didn't plow?
Nope.
Awesome. Good for you. Jim's usually out there plowing throughout the night. So glad you guys can be here. It's actually a bigger crowd than I was expecting, and so thank you guys for showing up. I do have something I really feel from the Lord to share with you this morning. I'll try to be concise with it. I do feel like it's some good practical things to help us. We've been going through the Tabernacle of Moses. And Bill, I did not leave a picture up there. I apologize. I've been showing a picture to give you a visual aid of kind of what I've been talking about over the last few weeks. And we spoke about the Tabernacle of Moses, and it's a picture of Jesus and how often that's been mentioned in the Scriptures. And we talked about, first of all, the centrality. There were camps, Israelites, as they moved. The Israelites were surrounding the camp. It's a picture of Jesus. Our life should always center around the Lord and the cross. We have the gate. When we enter through the gate, it's wide. And we had the altar, the brazen altar, where sacrifices were made. We talked about how at the cross forgiveness was given, but we also have healing, deliverance, all those things as far as like your benefits package at work that the Lord's given us. We looked at Isaiah 53. We also spoke about the Lord lit the fire on the altar, but it was the priest's responsibility to keep it going. And so, as believers and citizens of the kingdom of God, we have great responsibility. Okay? And it's not just, hey, bless God, I'm saved. This is, I can just coast. There's responsibility as we continue to grow and mature in the Lord. Last week, we spoke about the brazen laver. If you remember that, that's where the priest went. And so, you had the altar, then you had the laver. Place where they would wash their hands and their feet before going in. Okay, the blood cleanses us from sins, but the water keeps us clean. Okay, washing the water of the Word of God. And we spoke about that and how we continue to press into the Lord. And I'm going to look today at some things. Let me give you a short 2-minute sermon on something, and then I'll move forward into what I want to say. You have the gate, and then when you get to the holy place, which is the outer court, is where the brazen altar and the brazen laver were. And then there's like a little portable tent, which I'm going to talk about, and there's a door going in there. Okay? The door is smaller than the gate in its dimensions. And it's important that in the holy place we're going to be looking at, the outer court speaks more of our state and our standing and who we are in Christ and what He's done for us. In the holy place, there's more ministry aspects that are being done. Yeah, we're going to look at the golden altar of incense, which I love. It's the prayers and intercessions and worships up to the Lord. The candlestick speaks about the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, and there's different aspects of ministry. But the door is smaller than the gate. And I want to say something just briefly. This is a quick little sermonette before I say what I want to say. As we progress and as we move towards the Lord, as He uses us in ministry, all of us, there's an area where we're filled, you know, a little bit. The Lord constricts us and puts a little more pressure as we walk through. We talk about the narrow gate. Remember, Jesus spoke about. There's a verse I love in Acts. It says, we must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. And the word is thalipsis, and it means pressure. And so I was listening. Let me just say this. I was listening to it was Lance Wallnau this week. And he was teaching a class at a Bible school in London. And I really liked something he said. And he has a different. His whole vein of thought is more marketplace, which I love. We need to get that way. He was encouraging them to go into the marketplace, the kids, but or the students. And one thing he was saying is that throughout history, and if you look at a lot, even biblical people in the scriptures and people throughout church history, unfortunately, I would say not a lot of times, but it happens. You can end your life. I've seen people this way with less anointing than you began, or just a lesser of an impact, or you never quite reach where God's called you to. And a lot of times that's because as we move forward and we press into God, there's never going to be pressures and things that happen. I'm not just talking about even in your spiritual life, but in the natural, throughout your job, it can be a hothouse for the Lord working in your life. But oftentimes we encounter pressures and tribulations and struggles and things. And so what happens? Well, we get mad at this person and that person. We do this, do that. And all the while, the Lord's just trying to develop us and grow us and mature us to continue to walk, to be the vessels that He's called us to be. And so, just a quick little sermonette about the door. The further, the more you go into the Lord, as the more you press in, the more He uses you, sometimes there will be a little more pressure and constraint. Just like if I've got a basketball team and I'm preparing them, you know, we're playing a good team this week. You know, I'm going to practice them hard. I'm going to run. We used to have a coach, and one time he got a newspaper out, put us on the line, blew his whistle, and we just ran the whole practice. Get blown his whistle. And sometimes you need that and say, okay, I'm going to quit. I don't want to do this. Sometimes the Lord gets our spiritual muscles in shape and uses a variety of methods as we continue to press into the Lord. Amen? Okay. That speaks to me because I need that. I want to speak, though, about something that we see in the tabernacle. As we go in, the first thing we see, there's over the holy place, the most holy place, there are coverings and curtains. Okay? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 26. Exodus 26. The verse is, it's 1 through 14. I'm not going to read verse 1 through 14. I actually have, as I was preparing this, I have tons of notes. I'm going to have to skip over some stuff. I'm going to have to. But I'm going to give you a few things and a few principles as we look at something. Exodus chapter 26, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim. You shall weave them." Okay, that's one. If you go down to verse 7, then he says, "You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be over the tent of the tabernacle." And then as you scroll down to verse 14, and he finally ends up saying, "You shall also make a covering of ram skins dyed red for the tent, and a covering of badger skins above that." Okay. The curtains and the coverings were actually very important in the tabernacle. Every piece of furniture was covered until those curtains and coverings were put on top. Okay? And so basically, if I go in, I'm looking at the curtain of fine linen. Okay, then I have the, I've already forgotten the one I just said. The curtain of fine linen, then it's the curtain of goat's hair. Then it's the covering of ram skins dyed red and the badger skins on top of it. And it acted as a covering over the tabernacle. So if you're in there doing your functions and you're at the brazen altar, or not the brazen altar, but the golden altar of incense, and the weather is picking up outside, it's a covering, okay? And it speaks of covering on the body of Christ. That term has been floated around. Let me say a couple things, and then I want to get to some points. When we talk about covering, throughout scriptures it talks about the Lord being our covering. Psalms 91, it talks about the cherubim with the wings. There's a teaching in the body of Christ. Let me say this before I get to something. And I think it was in the 70s. It was called the shepherding movement. Anyone ever heard of that? Yeah. And it was the shepherding movement, just to kind of make sense of it. It was basically the idea, and they took some excesses in the charismatic movement, and they said, the covering, kind of like the idea of this, we're going to put a hierarchy in the body of Christ, almost like a pyramid chart, like you would see in a company. And I would be the apostle, and my covering, and you're under me, and then you're under me, and then you're under me. And it's almost like a pyramid thing, that where basically I'm your covering. Okay? And there's two great men of God, I like Derek Prince and Bob Mumford, who's still alive. And they both repented of this later because it caused so many abuses. And what it caused was basically, okay, I'm the main covering, and you can't do anything until you get my approval and my permission. Okay? You're familiar with it. That speaks of, and that word covering is used sometimes when we talk about church government and things. Who's your covering? What's your covering? That was all very damaging to the body of Christ. Okay, does that make sense what I said? Basically, you're under me. I want to say something this morning. Our covering is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? When you look at the curtains, all of the curtains, all of the coverings, they're all pictures of Jesus. Anytime, and there's certain levels of authority that are structured throughout the body of Christ, I'm going to look at in a minute, and in life, in general, government, family, home, all of its delegated authority that the Lord gives us. But anytime all of us in here have a certain level of authority that we have in our lives. Whether it can be in a church, it can be in your home with your family, it could be on the job. But all of that's delegated authority that He gives you. Anytime you're in any type of leadership, whatever, you're not anyone's covering. Your job is to serve and come underneath. This is New Covenant authority and leadership. And you push people up to Christ because He's limitless. If I'm your covering, you can never go as high as me, and then you're in trouble. If James is your covering, you can't go higher than where James is at, and it's a problem. Your covering is Christ Jesus. He's the protection that you have. He's the one you answer to. Amen?
Amen.
Let me just go briefly through something, and then I want to hit some specific points that I feel like are important for us here. Fine twine linen, I'm just going to say how this is a picture of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 19:8, it says, fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Okay, linen throughout the scripture speaks of righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Amen. I'm covered by His righteousness. Cherubims are the wings. The goat's hair throughout the scripture, goats were used as sacrifices for sins. He is our ultimate sacrifice. Amen. My covering is the sacrifice that He gave me. Okay. Ram skins dyed red. These were also substitutionary sacrifices. Red speaks of the blood of Jesus. And the badger skins, I'm briefly going through these for time's sake. The badger skin was protection and covering. And what's cool about that, I'll say this, is the most beautiful part of the coverings was the curtain of fine linen. And as we look up, we sing, what a beautiful name it is. Is He beautiful to you? We look up and we see the beauty of Jesus. The outside of it was uglier. It was badger skins. It was rough. It was tough. And it was protection from the storms of life and from different things like that. When I think of that, let me just read a passage. I love it. In Isaiah 53, it says, when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. And in verse 52, it says, just as many were astonished at you, so His visage or His image was marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of man. I can look at Christ from the outside and say, what's the value? It's our responsibility as believers to look and say, I see the beauty of Christ in Christ. And I take that outside. Lord, He's beautiful, and I live a life that demonstrates His character and the nature of who He is. Amen. But I want to look at some things throughout the scriptures, and I feel like this is going to be helpful for some of us. I do, and even some maybe who aren't here, I wish could hear something of some things that I share. To go back to the shepherding movement for a minute, I've actually, my wife and I both had a rough encounter with someone with this one time, and it wasn't fun, and she knows what I'm talking about. In the body of Christ, in the church, in the world, there are authority structures, there are coverings that He gives us. But, as believers, I'm not to dominate anyone. No one, if you're ever in a situation, and I want to say this as a pastoral heart and kind of what I want to share with you. If you're ever in a situation, we're getting ready to move to another place in Pawcatuck, so don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. But there's going to be a time for a lot of you in here at some point in time where you're probably going to have another pastor, whether I move or you move or whatever happens. That just sometimes life happens. That's not us leaving anytime soon. But my heart for you is this. Never, ever, or be careful that you don't submit to any leadership in a church or any leadership anywhere else that seeks to manipulate, control, and dominate outside of their function and structure. Amen? In the body of Christ, I don't dominate anyone. I use the power of the authority of influence. I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. But we're not to dominate. As New Covenant believers, I don't dominate anyone. I look to the Lord. And we had a situation one time. It was a very brief one. It was a unique thing. And it was just something. And I won't give the details. It took me 6 weeks to get over it. And it was the Lord actually took me to this, and I realized, as believers, we honor the authority structures that the Lord puts in place, but we're never to be dominated and crushed. The place where my authority ends, I have no authority, and if I step beyond that, I start using manipulation and things along those lines, and I'm counterproductive to the kingdom of God. Okay? So there's basically there's in the body of Christ, authority is important. Let me read something. Anyone familiar with Harold Everly? No? Okay. He wrote something I want to say. I want you to take everything I say in balance. And Harold Everly wrote something just to kind of give an idea of what authority and a covering structure is. He said, authority structure pervades everything in this world. If it were not for authority, you would not know which side of the road to drive your car or whether or not you should stop at the red light. Your car would have never been made in a factory because people cannot be organized to work together without a leadership structure. The home in which you live and establish is protected by authority. Not only is your home protected from enemies of another country, but neither can your neighbor simply walk in without your permission. The grocery store in which you shop is dependent upon authority to carry out daily activities. Otherwise, employees would not know what to do, and customers simply could walk out the door with merchandise. Everything you do throughout the day is permeated by authority structures. Okay. There's four basic authority structures or coverings that I'm going to talk about briefly this morning, and it's the government, basically about the government, church, your family, and then the individual. Okay? It's important that we don't cross beyond where God has called us to. All right? Let me say this. As believers, all of us have been given authority. But at the same rate, none of us have any authority. Because what did Jesus say in Matthew 28? He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to who? Given to him. But then he says, go therefore and make disciples. All right? So authority, he has all of it, but he delegates authority to us. Okay? Every bit of authority you have in any sphere of life that you're in, it's delegated authority that he gives you. And you stand in his stead and you operate under his covering and it's delegated. Amen? Does that make sense? It's his authority and it's important that we understand. Within that authority, we all have different spheres of influence. Okay? So let me just go through, read a couple of passages about government. And let me say this too. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator between God and men. Okay, so there's a vertical in that which Jesus is our mediator between the Father. But in all of our relationships of life, we have to have a Christ-centered, a Christ honoring, understanding his covering and authority in everything we do. Amen? Amen. My relationship with James on whatever form that is, Christ has to be the center of that, and we have to understand the authority structures that he's given us for that. So I'm going to talk more about that, and I'll use you as my guinea pig in a minute as we talk more about this. In government, let me just read a few scriptures to you, and I'm going to kind of give some examples. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes to the pastor and says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And he's speaking of governmental leaders there. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, another passage when we're speaking about authority structures that the Lord has put in place. Let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. That highlights what I was saying earlier. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. My responsibility always to pray for my leaders, not curse them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, country's in a mess because we do that too much.
Amen.
I don't care if I like the leader or not. I pray and I bless and I speak words of life to them, no matter who they are. All right? The individual, I just spoke some about that. All authority's been given to me, therefore go. We all have authority. In the church, there's authority in the church. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says, remember those who rule over you and have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow concerning the outcome of their conduct. Okay, that God puts layers of authority in the church. And in the home, Ephesians 5 and 6, husbands and your wives. And then it goes on, talks about your children as well. And so there's four main layers of authority and covering and structure. All of us partake in some level, in some way, in all of that. Okay? Each and every one of us. If anything, over your own life. If you're a single person, there's a certain amount that the Lord gives you over your own life. People get into chaos and cause problems when you breach and you go beyond the authority structure that God has given you and the covering God's given you. Okay? So let me give this example real quick. James, as the head of his family, this child, he has a God-given authority he in hand over his daughter Teresa. Okay? That's something that's a delegated authority that he has, and he uses that well. I know you do. You're a good father. You're a good husband. I know you are. We get in trouble. This is an obvious example, but it happens. We get in trouble if I say, now I'm someone, I have authority in my family too, Andrew and I over our children, in this church I do, but if I step over that and I start telling him, you need to do this, you need to do this, you better do this, you better do that, and I cross over my level of authority structure and my covering, and I step out from the covering God's given me and go into his, we have chaos and problems. Why? Because I'm leaving the metron and sphere where God's called me in my level, and I've gone into his. A lot of the trouble and problems we have going to the workplace, especially, is a question over who's in charge. I've seen that a lot. You know, I'm not doing that because you told me. I'm not doing, you know. It's important that we understand and we honor, as New Covenant believers, we honor the sphere and metrons that God has given us, and we stay and operate within that. Okay? We get into trouble and we broach that. Same thing if you look at the church and the government and the state. I honor the state, I honor the church, or I honor our government. But if you remember in Acts, where is that at? In Acts chapter 14, I think it's Acts 14. No, it's not Acts chapter. It's Acts chapter 4, excuse me. I knew it was 4 in there. Acts chapter 4, verse 15 through 20. Let me read this to you real quick. And it says, but when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a noticeable miracle has been done among them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But what did Peter and John do? Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, but we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and we've heard. What happened here in this situation? Chaos happened because a governing authority structure said, you cannot do this. And so the government steps into the church and begins to manipulate control. That's when problems happen. Okay? I honor the government, but at the same time, and the same thing with the church, with the government. We are not to control government. We are to pray, influence, and bless. Look at Daniel. I love Daniel. We're to be influencers, the governmental leaders. Amen?
Amen.
I would love, I was listening to something on, I think it was CBN recently. There's a guy who has devotions for members of Congress. And they actually, he was getting into some trouble because they were saying, you're trying to dominate or whatever. He said, no, we don't believe that, but we're calling to influence them to live godly and upright lives. Okay? Paul writes about this in Timothy, that we may live in peace and that we can do. The purpose for that is so that we as believers can live in peace and operate to fill, as Pete said this morning, Great Commission and share Jesus to the world. If that's suppressed, the government stepping beyond their metron. And if I go in and try to control and dictate, I'm stepping beyond my authority structure. Amen? It's making sense.
Yes.
Yes. And so I note that disciples, they were not claiming authority which God already given them. They were exercising influence to be, you know, he is my covering, and you're stepping beyond the authority structure God's given me. It's better that I obey God rather than man. So that makes, we're just pushing forward in this, okay? I want to look at a few things this morning, certain levels of authority that speak to us individually. The first is the authority of the Word of God or the written Scripture. God speaks to us, right? And there's been a big thing in the news this week, I guess, because we were praying for Mike Pence Tuesday night. I didn't know why. And then I saw someone mocked him because he said he hears from God. He was dangerous or something. Yeah. And I was thinking, but then I was thinking, you know what that means? He is dangerous, actually, because we have a vice president who communicates with the Lord. So he is dangerous for the kingdom of God.
He had mental illness. If he heard God, that's what they.
Mm-hmm. Because he talked to Jesus.
And so the Lord speaks to us, and he also speaks to us through his word. Let me say this, the first level of covering and authority structure you have in your life is the word of God. So the Lord speaks to us. Let me share something about that. It's important that if the Lord speaks to you, I say it's prophetically or you hear, a couple things I want to say about that. First, and I shared this last week, if the Lord speaks to you, you should always line up with the Word of God. Okay? But I was listening, I want to go in a different vein too. I was listening, Chris Valentin had something recently. I loved it. It was like a 2-minute little clip. I liked it on Facebook. If the Lord speaks to you and you say, God said this to me, it's important that as believers, we have a culture where there's humility in that. And when I say that, if I went to someone recently, I'll give my own example, and I thought the Lord was speaking, so this was recently, I thought the Lord was really speaking something to me. And I don't just take that, if God's speaking something, I don't just say that, keep that to myself and say that's the definite thing. One, it has to line up with Scripture, but sometimes the Lord speaks something to us, you know, maybe it's about a job or something, and you're not going to read in the Bible, take this job or that job. Okay, it takes a level of discernment that you have, a level of understanding the things of God. But I went to this, he's not in this church, he's very seasoned, really has a good walk with the Lord. I said, hey, you know, brother, I'm going to say his name. I said, Phil, we're saying this to me, and he disagreed with me. And I said, okay, all right. And I didn't necessarily, but I went along, and as time went, I thought, hey, he was right. If I go into something, let me just, to produce a spirit of humility and humbleness, if I say, James, God told me this, a lot of times when I say that, it ends the conversation, because what am I going to disagree with God? Hey, God told me this, and if you disagree, oh, well, you don't believe God, you don't believe, you know. I want to encourage you, if you feel the Lord speaking something to you, it says, test all things, judge all things, let the prophet speak and let the others judge, okay? Hey, the Lord's speaking this to me. I think God's saying this to me. How do you feel about it? And you find people in the body of Christ. What do you sense about this? Instead of just God told me. In Bible school, there's a teacher, and he said, you know, when a student comes up to me, he said, God said, and then ends the conversation right there. Okay? Have a spirit of humility. I think the Lord's saying this to me. You don't have to go to everyone and their mother. And even if you say, hey, I have a prophetic word, you know, do it publicly and let the others judge. I've got prophetic words from people before, and I say, okay, thank you. All right, and I put it on the shelf because it had no witness to my spirit. You don't have to take on everything that gives. There's also a passage that says, know those in Thessalonians. Know those who labor among you. Okay? Know those who labor among you. And so it's important, hey, James gave me this prophetic word. I understand it here from God this season. I'm going to sit on, I'll pray about it, maybe, you know, communicate. Just have a spirit of humility and humbleness in hearing from the Lord. And make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Amen? So that's the first covering and authority structure that we have in the Bible. There's also the authority of conscience. Okay? In Romans, let me read a verse to you. Romans 2, 14 through 15. It says, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do things in the law, these, although not having a law to themselves, having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between them their thoughts either accusing or excusing them. If you read Paul writes a lot. When he stands before Agrippa and Acts, he says, I've lived with a clean conscience throughout, and he repeats that. There's something in the Scriptures, sometimes, like I just said, there's the Lord doesn't say, let me say this, that when I was in Bible school, there was a guy there, his name was Walter, and his strong conviction in his heart was that he can't watch TV. I don't have that. But he did. So much that we went out to eat, and there's a TV, and he did like this to it. That's pretty extreme. But that was it was a conviction. There's nowhere in the Scriptures that you can't watch TV. It was a level of conviction and consciousness that he had. And he was just as Paul, right? He was being sincere to that. What's important for us to do is understand that we don't broach someone's individual liberties. Paul writes about this in Romans 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You can read more about it. If James has a thing in his heart, the Lord says, hey, I don't want you to watch TV. Well, I don't have that. Well, two things there. If the Lord's put that on him, it's important that James doesn't project that on me. Okay? God's spoken, I'm not supposed to watch TV, so you're not supposed to watch TV either. Has anyone ever seen anyone like that? Okay. A lot of times that's I have that with certain areas of my life, and I don't project it on others. At the same time, it's important for me to say, well, you're just being religious and legalistic. I have, you know what? I'm going to honor, hey, God's spoken that to you. I honor that between you and God. That's something that maybe there's, he's prone to addiction with it or something, or he's prone to looking at, I don't know. But I'm going to honor his own covering of the Lord. I'm going to honor the individual conscience that he has that he speaks about in Scripture. I'm not going to badger you for being legalistic, and you're not going to project that upon me. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's called the law of authority, the covering of your personal conscience. It's honoring it and living it as citizens of the kingdom of God in an honorable way with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? I had someone do that to me one time about something. It made me mad. So don't do that. Don't project on others. I've spoken some about the authority of delegated authority. Let me just say this. Delegated authority never goes beyond your responsibility. But let me say this. In a church setting, it's important that we honor people's positions and something that God's given them. So for example, Jim here, he's men's leader, okay? I was sitting, still remember I was in my room, and the Lord, I wasn't even thinking. The Lord said, ask Jim to do this. And some things happened, and the Lord did. That's a delegated authority that God's given him. Now, if he's in a men's meeting, and he's doing his men's meeting, and some great big preacher comes in, he has more authority than that great big preacher. Why? Because it's delegated authority that he has. He's functioning the role God called him to in this church. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a big conference and there's a 14-year-old usher, that 14-year-old usher has more authority structure in that church because of where they're at, this delegated authority that the Lord's given them and the structure in the church that God's putting them in, than Bishop so-and-so who glows in the dark at night who comes in. Okay? So you understand that. It's a law of delegated authority. And so if I went and, let's say there's another church in town, so I'm a pastor, and I go into the other church, and I'm a pastor, and I start trying to run things, what happens there? Chaos ensues because I step out from under the place that God's put me, and I try to operate through another man's area. I've seen meetings killed like that before. There's one I'm thinking, there's no one in here, but it was a meeting I'm thinking of, and someone really stepped out of where they're supposed to, and it just killed the meeting like that, because God doesn't honor that. God honors and respects authority. If you look throughout Scripture, but he honors his covering and his order of things. Amen?
Amen.
We've spoken some about that in the past. It's a metron. It's a thing. You know, if I go into prison with Kevin, I'm going to honor the fact that he's been doing that for years. That's his deal. If I come in, Kevin, you're doing this wrong. What happens there? I step beyond where God's called me to. And God's not going to honor me for that. And he's not going to honor anything I do in that setting for that. Okay? It's important that we recognize and we understand, you know, Bill back there in the sound booth. I'm not going to go, you know, it's not your job to go tell Bill what he needs to start. That's a delegated realm of authority that God's called him to back there. Okay?
Amen.
All right. We spoke about governmental authority. We went through that. Just some very practical things. Contractual or stipulative authority. Remember Jacob and Laban? And he worked this time for Rachel, and the man gave him Leah instead. Just common sense stuff. If I tell someone, I'm going to pay you this amount this time, or I'm going to do something, this is practical, simple stuff. Honor what you say before God, and honor the man, and pay him when you said, or do what you said. Pay your bills on time. This is common if you can. Common sense. If I tell someone I'm going to do it, I do it. Okay, it's honoring the other people. Functional authority, and this is just the realm of common sense. If there's a major accident out there on the street and someone's sick, who has the most authority out there? The paramedic, at least. Okay, it's a level of common sense. We talked about children and your parents. It's your job as parents. You're in charge of your children. Sometimes, and let me say this too, in areas of authority, in any way, shape, or form, whether you're in the job or however you are, and let me say this too, Wherever you are, authority is never enforced, it's recognized. If I have to enforce my will on someone, if I have to tell you I have authority, then I really don't have any, right? This isn't just church I'm talking about. This is on the job. I remember when I took a manager's job one time, and the regional got and told everyone, young kid, he's the manager, and everyone just looks at me. I had no authority there because that's earned. How did Jesus, blood and water, you shed your blood for people, Jesus shed his blood for us. When I say that in a relative term, leadership is service. In my family, as a father, I serve my children. My children can listen to me and do what I want, but if they're really going to respect my authority, respect who I am, it's because I'm serving them, not because I'm suppressing them. Right?
Amen.
When they get older, if I'm constantly suppressing and hoarding, because God made us free people, did He not? He made us free. And I meant to live that way, and I honor and respect leadership as they serve and honor. And I serve my family. On the job, I serve my people I work with. It's an attitude of the heart. Paul speaks a lot about honoring one another. Okay? It's a system of honoring people. Let me end with something. And you can turn to the book of Philemon if you want, or I'm going to read something. In the kingdom of God, I spoke about shepherding movement. There is no hierarchy in the kingdom of God other than He's the King. Okay? But He puts different things. I relate to people, and I honor people based on where they are in their authority structure. But in Philemon, I love this passage in chapters. Obviously, it's one chapter, and this is the short letter Paul writes to the slave owner. In verse 8 through 14, he says, "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged and now prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. He was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might be done by not by compulsion, but as it were voluntary." What is Paul doing here? He's saying that my apostolic mandate, who I am, I've laid down my life for you guys. I've presented the gospel. I've preached the gospel to you. And I have a right to say, you're going to do this. But he chooses rather, he says, not by compulsion. I want your good deeds to be done, not by compulsion, but voluntary. Paul, if you look throughout, comes as just as Jesus washes their feet. He's a servant. Whether I'm in a church, whether I'm in my job, whether I'm in government, whether I'm in my family, be servants to others. You're not in charge of dominating or domineering anyone. Part of the problem we get into, especially in our government, people get some authority. Has anyone worked for someone who's been a manager or a boss, and they get a little bit of authority and they run around like crazy people? Okay? As believers of Christ, as citizens of the kingdom of God, you don't dominate or domineer or control anybody. If I do that, I get into manipulation. And my authority ends, and I can move into some bad, bad stuff, and I start manipulating. Your job, whether it's your family, and you have to tell your kids what to do when they're young, I know that. But you serve, you influence, you persuade. As a church structure goes, I'll use Jim rather than myself for the men's meeting. It's not his responsibility to dominate. You do this. You do this. Why haven't you done this? You should do this. Rather, it's to encourage you. Paul speaks often about it's used for rebuking and there's correction. All that stuff is done, but it's not done in a controlling sense. It's done as I appeal to you. I plead to you. Is there authority there? Is there relationship there? Where there is no relationship, it's hard to have authority. You think North Korea, you think that man really has authority? He has authority because he's going to kill you if you don't do anything. That's not true authority. True authority is when they follow you willingly in your family, in your job, because you serve and you carry a presence with you and you're aware of who you are and what you are. Amen? He does it again. Christ is our covering. I'm going to end with this. Paul used the same approach in 1 Corinthians 16 when he used the recommended Timothy to them. Christ is our covering. You're not covered and you're not put under a heavy scope by a pastor, balls by family, because God's called you to be free. Christ is our covering. Yet in all that, we have to understand that He puts authority, and authority matters. Remember the quote I read earlier. Every institution, every place I go, it's important that I honor and respect authority. But all authority that we have, all authority that other people have, it's delegated authority. It's on loan from God. Okay? Our covering is Christ. And it comes to a point where we recognize this. If Jim Mott's the men's leader, I honor him as the men's leader because I honor God. Right? I honor the fact that God's put him there. Christ is my covering. And I say, okay, he has authority from Christ, but it's delegated authority. And I honor Christ. If I dishonor him and his role and his function, and no one's done that, it's not why I'm using you. But if I dishonor him and his role and his function, in turn, because that authority is really not his, it's the Lord's, he's delegated, I'm dishonoring the Lord. Okay? Same for our leaders. I pray, I honor, I don't dishonor them. I pray for our president. I pray for our governor. I pray for our senators. I honor the authority that God's put them in that position. And I seek to pray for them and influence them through prayer, because prayer matters. Remember, we have responsibility. But if I have the opportunity, I would also, I can't control them from a church perspective, but I can pray and bless and influence them for the kingdom of God. I honor the authority that God's put them in over here. And I honor them because I honor Christ. But I also have free will to influence them. Same in the home. I'm not going to dominate as the pastor. I'm not going to tell, hey, you better do this. Why haven't you done this? I'll give influence and I'll give honor because I recognize that over his family, James and Anne together in unison are the authority structure and the covering. Because I honor Christ in my authority, I honor the authority that he's put in him as leader of his family. Amen? That's covering. Okay? Everything in there was covered. It was the first thing they did before they could do anything, because covering is important. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Lord, I bless you this morning. I thank you for what you've done. Lord, I ask that you would take what I shared and multiply it within our hearts, multiply it within my heart. Lord, that we would be a people, Lord, who honor you, Lord, who are submitted under your headship and under your lordship. But we also recognize the delegated authority that you've given others, and we walk in honor and respect, Lord, and unity as people who influence and shape and help influence culture. And so we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for who you are. And we bless you in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.